Thank you. Thank you. We just used up a little over 2 minutes, so the time shortens. It's really great. I'm thrilled to be back here. I think I remember, you know, years ago with the DEG speaking here, and you know, our thesis at MoviePass is that, you know, despite what you hear about the declining desire to go to the movie theater, that there's really millions and millions, in fact, hundreds of millions of people around the world who really want to go back to the movie theaters. They just don't like the business transaction. They don't like this idea of a la carte. It's really all about all the young people who grew up with subscription, whether it was from Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime. So, you know, this thesis is built upon data, the data that we discovered over the last couple years, and that is that as young people see all these options for entertainment, you know, they have all these subscriptions, and the alternative is there's all these great movies playing in the theater that are, in their mind, risky, like, you know, it's expensive, I don't know if it's good, and they have all these other ways to watch movies that they end up talking themselves out of it. And so what we've developed at MoviePass is what we call, this is horrible marketing, but we call it bad movie insurance. And so now you can go, you know what? Like, you know, there's nothing wrong with going and trying to see if this movie's good. If it isn't any good, I'll walk out and I'll trash it to my friends the next day. What the result is that they end up discovering films they never would have seen. They get back into the habit. It's the exact same thing when you think about the future of transactions. It doesn't matter where you are. When you remove the friction and you remove the obstacles, then you get more happiness, more joy, and more transactions. It's the same with Uber, not having to pull your wallet out. It's the same at Hilton Hotel, where you don't need to stop at the front desk to get your key. Your phone works as the key. And that's with us. We remove the biggest obstacle of going to a movie, and that is it going to be worth it? And so we've had an amazing success. Ted acquired a majority of the business. You know, as anybody who's involved in data knows, when you offer an all-you-can-eat program, the first people who subscribe are the people who are going to go, you know, have voracious appetites and are going to go crazy going to movies. And it's, you know, sometimes we talk about it like health insurance. You know, if you offer a health insurance program, the first people who join have to go to the hospital right away. And our people in this scenario really want to see a lot of movies. So Ted's company bought half of the company in August. We launched that very day a $9.95 program. We launched it because what we found is people who only go 5 times a year to the movies, that's the group who wants to go more. When you dig into the data, what they want is access to see more films, but not the risk that they might kind of feel like they're wasting their money. And by pricing it at $9.95, we ended up just taking off like a rocket ship. We grew 150,000 subscribers, paid subscribers, in 2 days. We hit 1 million subscribers in December, 4 months later. That's faster than Spotify. You know, when I was at Netflix from 98 through 2003, it took us 38 months to get to 1 million subscribers there. And from there, 6 weeks later, we added another 1 million subscribers. And what's ending up happening is we're re-energizing people going to the movie theaters. And this vision of seeing people kind of going back to this experience, building into this, you know, joy and passion about experience, and at the same time, you know, getting into the big screen, has been fantastic. And We continue, you know, to grow at an extraordinary rate. We think we'll be 5 million subscribers at the end of this year, 20 million subscribers in a couple years. I was telling Ted this story the other day that after we came up with the idea of subscription at Netflix, we used to bet just how big we could get. And I was one of the higher numbers, and I was 1.7 million subscribers. So you can see how wrong, you know, generally, you know, I could be. You know, I remember Reed celebrated his the millionth subscriber by eating a steak dinner at a Denny's, and then just recently he celebrated the 100 millionth in that same Denny's, and so you know. Hopefully we'll be wrong that 20 million is just a fraction. But, you know, we joined with Ted's company, and let me pass it over to Ted. Ted's company is a data analytics company, and it helps us live out the second vision, which is to build out this whole night at the movies, which we can talk about.
Thanks for having us here. Like what Mitch was saying about the data analytics is Helios and Matheson is a, you know, data-rich data analytics company that did, you know, a lot of data analytics for BMW, TD Waterhouse, Goldman Sachs, a bunch of Fortune 500 companies. But when I took over the company, I really had a vision of going into the media side of the business, going into the social media side, the internet, and really looking at that play. And then I met up with Mitch, you know, early, what was it, last year, and we did the deal, like he said, on August 15th. But what the interesting part from the data side was, when I first sat down with Mitch, before we did a deal, we started looking at their data. They had about 14,000 subscribers. And from my background in the marketing side and understanding data, I was shocked of, if this data was true that I was looking at, I thought it was a gold mine. I mean, I thought it was worth, so to me, it didn't even matter about making money in subscription, because the gold was really in the data. So we went through all the data, we're looking at it, but I mean, they were doing things like where, you know, you would double the consumption of a moviegoer going to the movies. So that's 100% increase. That's an insane number when you look at it from data. But then when you can back it up with the data, then you know everything about that user, what movies they go to, you know, what time of the day they go to, the theaters they go to, how many theaters do they go to, do they use MoviePass when they travel around the country. And then you really started seeing all this richness of data, which I just saw like as a total goldmine of you know, data sitting there. So when we did our deal and we started looking at all the things, we knew that they could take people from a theater, and if they tried to push them to another theater, it could work 45% of the time. If they put another movie out there to suggest to go to another movie, could work multiple times, like, you know, it could work over 100% of the time. And you saw increases of movie theaters where you pushed the data where it would increase the attendance at a movie theater by 400%. So when I'm looking at this, and then I realized that the theater industry the exhibitor side was pretty archaic. You know, it wasn't like real data rich or anything else. I don't want to offend anybody, but it was. But that's where we saw the opportunity from the data side. So nobody had closed the loop on the data of the movie going experience. And Chris Kelly, which I don't even know if he's here, was the largest shareholder at the time. And he was one of the original team members of Facebook. And for him to put his own personal money in this company, I realized he saw something on the data side. I know Mitch saw something on the data side. But lucky for myself, it was somebody that would believe in really taking the gamble and putting the money behind it to allow Mitch to go forward with the vision, and knowing that he had done it with, you know, Netflix and Redbox and along the way, but then really start to bring in the data. So fast forward where we are now, it's amazing with 2 million subscribers, and right now we're buying over 6% of all the movie tickets in the country. And we're, what, 5 months old, 6 months old? And, you know, in the next couple months, I mean, the way we're growing right now, in the next couple months, you'll be buying 10% of all movie tickets, 15% of all movie tickets. But the data that we're getting from the moviegoer of what movies they want to go to and how we can market. And it's interesting how the studios here have really embraced MoviePass and really come behind us. And we're working with a lot of different studios. Can't go into all the names. But the interesting part is this is the first time the studios have been able to look at our data and be able to tell who the moviegoer is. And also to be able to sit there and look at the data, to be able to market the movies, but also look forward to how to market future movies to the same people, all by using the data. So it's the first time that we've really been able to close the loop, I would say, on the data side for the whole experience going all the way through the theater, because we know all that information. And we will tie it together. I think you'll see some more exciting things coming out from MoviePass in the next couple months, where, not even the next couple of months, probably the next month, doing the night out at the movies where it will tie together with more data, with the restaurant chains, with Chili's, with Olive Garden, with these different places out there. And those are the exciting things. And we have been, you know, growing obviously pretty rapidly, but we're totally committed to it. We love the fact of we sit there and look at all the data side of it and the artificial intelligence. We have facial recognition that we own. We have companies in Israel that we own of Trended, of tracking migration trails and all kinds of stuff. So really, from the movie going side of it, we really love it. And but you know, Mitch could probably share some more details on the data of how it affects the moviegoers in the theaters.
Yeah, let me give you a sense of what we have and then how we use it. So we have we know where our subscribers live. We know the makeup of the household. We know, you know, things like income, gender, age. We, of course, end up learning about their movie-going habits, so what movies they like, where they, what theaters they go to, what time of day, and so on. So we gather all that data, and then we use it to promote various things. For example, as Ted was saying, we might promote a specific theater that may not be your normal theater, but it may be in your market area. We also might promote a title. And we do so in not the most sophisticated ways at the moment. You know, we have to build our platform. Today, it's placement in the app. It could be email marketing. It could be pop-ups in the app or social media. But that alone is tripling the consumption from a baseline usage to 2.5 to 3 times more. We will increase, you know, our subscribers' attendance of a movie by 2.5 to 3 times by those simple, you know, combinations of higher exposure and push. A lot of it is because if you take out the big blockbuster hits, most people really don't know which movie they want to see until the day or so before or the day of going to the movies. So they're in a very kind of open-minded position where, okay, tell me what I should see. We're able to also promote one theater over another and get about 30 or 40% of people to change theaters to our partner theaters. So we use all that, but the bigger vision is as we track them, because your app is tracking you wherever you are. Our patented technology and our payment system is triggered by having essentially a MasterCard in your pocket that is tied to the UID or the ID within your phone. And so we can turn it on and off for specific merchants, specific classes of trade. We can turn it on for the kiosk that's in front of a theater. We can turn it on at the concession stand. We can turn it on for the restaurant across the street. That's all kind of built into our future development. And so imagine a time where you're driving along and we know that there's a movie playing in a theater about a mile away that starts in an hour and a half. We will pop up and say, there's this great movie we think you'll love. It starts in an hour and a half. How would you like to have drinks or dinner or a coffee at the Starbucks, and guide you over to that restaurant or that location? And you know, while today we're kind of building an Orbitz or a Travelocity for the movie business, you know, over time we're building like an Open Table for your night out at the movies. And we'll be using all that understanding of your traffic patterns, your buying patterns, to be able to drive consumption, especially to partners out there. And, you know, one of the things we should do is if there's questions, we're happy to answer questions about the system or our business.
How many people here have MoviePass cards? Raise your hands. Wow.
Cool. Thank you.
Wow.
Don't use it too much.
I use it more.
Because he's got to give me more money in order to cover that. Yes.
Oh, hold on. Wait for the microphone.
Sorry.
Larry,
sorry.
Is that you? Yeah. Got a drink in my hand. I'm like, all right, here we go.
Hey, Mitchell. How are you? See who you
are. I just like seeing you run around the room. Larry Johnson. We met outside, Mitch, though.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan. Right, I'm probably not the target audience. I told you that.
Too many times.
Yeah, I probably. Yeah.
How many times?
we'll talk later. So, can you speak to what's happening in the industry, the disruption? Because you know where I live, you know there's three or four AMCs within AMCs in striking distance. Okay, but I keep reading about the stuff going on between you and AMC. I just wonder if you could speak to that. You know, there are people that are saying, hey, it's so good to be true that it may not last. Or that, you know, maybe you guys are going to AMC and saying, hey, we're growing really fast. Now give us a percentage of the box office and your concessions, and they're getting all upset. Can you speak to what's happening and clarify anything that you...
Yeah, and jump in if I could.
Oh, go ahead.
That was four questions, by the way. That was four questions.
So thanks, Larry. The exciting thing when you almost know you're doing the right thing when the major players in the industry don't like what you're doing. I think it's like there's something about that is a good thing. We tried initially, and I bet everyone in this room has experienced going, you know, to another company or another department or your boss and showing them all the data that supports an idea or a decision that you think the company should make. And for one reason or another, they didn't like the idea. They didn't agree. And we did the same. We went to the major exhibitors, AMC, and we had a two-year partnership with AMC. And we went to all the big chains and all the independent, not all, but many, many of the independents, and showed them that when a movie, even a Stubbs member at AMC becomes a member of MoviePass, that they double their frequency of going to the movies. And even more important for the theater, when they do go, they buy twice as much high-margin concessions. And it's because, you know, you're not pulling a $10 or $15 out of your pocket. You feel flush with cash, so you're going to spend more. So we showed them all the data, and they said, you know, come back when you're big enough, you know, to make any difference. And so, you know, our strategy has been, okay, we'll grow big enough so we make a difference, and we're starting to get to that point. But they don't like, what they really don't like is, it's almost the same, like, you know, I think the world, what's really important in business in this world is having a direct connection with your customer. And nobody likes someone in between you and your customer. This is, you know, this is why United and Marriott and all the hotels don't like Orbitz to be in between them and their customer. So, you know, they feel like, gosh, we should have done this ourselves. And so that causes a little bit of disruption. And they also aren't convinced we're incremental. You know, so, you know, they and there is also the issue of believing that we're kind of lowering the cost of going to the movies, and, you know, they spent years raising the cost of going to the movies. So I think it's just, we'll be partners with them sometime in the future, but, you know, that's just caused a lot.
I think about the sustainability.
Oh, yeah.
Is a question we're never asked. we're always asked that. That's always our first question. It was interesting when I first got together with Mitch. I said, look, if we grow the business the way we think we can grow the business, don't worry about money. We'll raise all the money we need on Wall Street. So far, we've raised, I don't know, maybe we just did a shelf for $480 million plus another $200 million before that. But we're not even concerned about that. I'm not concerned about that at all. Because I understand it's not the subscription side, it's the data. and I think the people in this room probably understand that more than most, that it is the data, that really is the gold. And so the bigger we get, the quicker we get, the more subscribers. And I also like the fact, as far as competition comes along, it's not going to be somebody just making up an app in their garage and competing with us, because they better have hundreds of millions of dollars to back them to catch up with us or to be able to compete with us in that side. And also, I think with MoviePass Ventures, launching that was another way to solidify ourselves in there, to come alongside the distributors in the business. But once again, that's all about data, because once we own a piece of that film, we'll get the data from the streaming side of the business, the retail side of the business, all the way down the TV side, the hotel side, the airplane side, all those distribution channels. We'll start gathering all that data on the moviegoers for that as well. So sustainability, I'm not worried about it at all. We're here for the long run.
We got one question right back here, and then we'll shoot Amy.
Okay. Hi, my name is Jessica Dang. I am with the Disney Institute, which is the external training arm of the Walt Disney Company. And I'll be honest, I don't have a subscription to MoviePass, but all my friends rave
about
it.
Next question, please.
I think it's a brilliant idea that it's kind of like a MasterCard where it's all about the data, you're tracking it. But it reminded me of the time where Facebook, there was a huge uproar about the fact that they were tracking users. And I actually deleted my Facebook app. I'm very private. I don't like having apps tracking my every move. So how are you going to address the concerns about privacy?
Well, the first thing on the technology side, I understand what you're saying. And it's interesting because Chris Kelly was the first guy with the privacy officer at Facebook, who's our partner. So that's a big piece for us. And you'll be able to say whether you want to be tracked during the app, off the app, or whatever it is. So you'll have that option. But most of your people, I'd say 90% of the people, understand you're getting it for $9.95, and they do want to find out what's going on, or if it's a special movie, or if it's a discount at a restaurant. But that's really going to be the option for the consumer. But we do not sell the data to the studios. We do not sell the data to anybody. We believe we'll give them data sets of, you know, the demographics of who went to the movies, where they went to the movies, things like that. We don't break it down and sell the data to the studios.
Yeah, and you know, we believe the data is more valuable to us to use, and I think, like Ted said, is that, you know, it's $9.95, and you know, I think as long as we make it clear that you are giving up a certain amount of information in order to get this amazing deal, then people can decide, you know, I don't want to do that, and so that's the equation.
That's the trade-off. Down front.
So nice to see you, Mitch. I think that if Warren is the father or godfather of DVD, you are officially the godfather of subscription. where is the love, less love relationship between the studios and the data? Where do they not, you know, get unhappy losing that revenue from ticket sales and gaining the access to the information?
Yeah, I think they... you know, the studios, there's a little bit of an awkward period we're in right now, where because the largest exhibitor chain in the world is not being friendly to us. The studios are not comfortable. The ones who are working with us are not comfortable even saying that they're working with us. And of course, they don't like it when we say, you know, that they're, so that's why we disguise it, you know, and all this stuff. I think what will end up happening, you know, with how, you know, the studios have a hard time building audiences for $50 million and lower box office titles. They end up spending so much money that they don't know is effective. And, you know, there's that kind of old, you know, saying that, you know, I know half of my money is wasted, I just don't know what half. And we're almost like Netflix for the theatrical, you know, because we know, you know, what you like, we know where you live, we know how to get you to the theater, and our customers have no incremental cost of going. We're able to get people to go to the theater, which, you know, builds long-term, you know, downstream revenue streams. So what the studios are paying us to do is to get people into the seats on the opening weekend. And so what they want to learn from that is, how do we do that better in our other marketing platforms? So they want to learn what are the messages that really got someone to go. What are the different nuances by market, by time of day? And so we help. Not only do we get people into the seats, but then we provide them with the learning on a real-time basis that allows them to kind of fine-tune their other marketing messages. So that's what we see in the near term. You know, the longer term, the content owners have always been the centerpiece of driving people to a night out at the movies, where you might be spending hundreds of dollars on a restaurant and getting, you know, using Lyft, babysitters, and so on. But the content owners don't earn anything from that. They don't earn anything from concessions. And so we're building a platform that will actually allow content creators to tap into all the other spending out there. But that's a longer term, you know, project.
Yep. Yep. One question over here.
Yeah, one more.
We're almost out of time. Yep. So we, I think we got time for two more. Yeah, quick question.
My question is, do you plan to roll out your business model, say, in Europe? And if so, your data-driven analytics, would they come up against the more stringent privacy laws that are enacted in the European Union?
Sure.
Yeah.
GDPR question.
Yeah. We think that there's a potential for MoviePass in markets where there's a fragmented exhibitor industry. So, you know, in Canada, where there's a dominant player, probably not. In Mexico, the same. But in Europe, we think it's likely. But we would probably go into those markets with a local partner that would deal with all those issues, and we'd supply the technology and patents and so on.
One last question down here, down front. As we run out of time, you guys can wrap. Dan Mira.
I understand you say you'll have no problem raising money. That makes sense to me. How do you plan to make money? That's
Figured that part out.
And just a selfish...
Either it's Netflix or Amazon. We're good. No.
A selfish follow-up, living here in L.A., when are you going to get ArcLight?
Yeah.
Want to talk about the...
Yeah, ArcLight, we'd love to be in. You know, they're awfully expensive, so we aren't in every theater, especially the high-priced ones. But we're talking to them. We'll try. The business model is this. Imagine it's a lot like, you'll appreciate, there's four or five moving levers. There is the average cost of goods, so the average cost of a ticket. Across the United States, it's somewhere just below $9 is the average cost of a ticket. 1.3 billion tickets generate about $11 billion. Today, of course, the early adopters of our service are in high-priced cities where it's a no-brainer. Geez, I'm spending $14. It's $9.95. I make good on one ticket. So one of our levers is getting more and more of our tickets purchased in average-cost markets, so more people in Omaha, more people in Kansas City. The second lever there is getting more of the theaters giving us a bulk ticket discount, where instead of paying $11, $12, we're paying $9. So that's one of the levers to get to profitability. The second is the same way. Our early adopters are part of that 11% of consumers, of moviegoers, who see 18 movies a year before us. Now they're seeing 36. So we need to get a higher and higher percentage of the 89% of moviegoers who only see 4.5 movies a year before us. Now they go to 9. You know, you can work the math out. You get 85% of your subscribers from that pool and 15 from the other, and now you're down to about one movie a month. And we don't expect to get down to that, but, you know, somewhere around there. And then over time, you know, like a kind of a buffet, you know, if you go to a buffet every day, you start to eat less and less, you know, as each subsequent day. And we see our subscribers, you know, go to fewer and fewer movies, you know, as each month goes by, and then they, around fourth month, they settle in. So it's aging us, you know, having a higher percentage in the more than 4 months of being a subscriber, more of our subscribers from the occasional moviegoer, more subscribers in lower cost markets. And where we end up is a little over one, between one and 1.4 movies per month at an average cost of around $8 to $9. And we lose a couple bucks on the subscription. And then we believe there's about six or more dollars per month per subscriber in marketing revenue, working for the studios, advertising, this night at the movies concept. So that's kind of, you know, but it takes a long time. It takes a year plus, but that's the business model.
Well, gentlemen, I'm sure we could sit here and listen to y'all chat for, you know, for at least another hour, right? I'm sure there's tons of questions, unanswered questions, so you better run out of here or people are going to corner you and chew your ear off.
There's a bunch of MoviePass people here somewhere.
That's right, exactly.
Well.
Any quick closing comments, or do you feel like...
Go ahead, Mitch.
Yeah, I'd say go to the movies.
I love it.
I agree. Thank you
Ted,
so much.
Mitch, thank you so much. The MoviePass gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much.